Breakfast Business with Joe Lynham on News Talk.
With Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland, helping people across Ireland invest, plan and grow their wealth with confidence. Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Good morning. You're listening to Breakfast Business with me, Susan Hayes-Cullerton, in for Joe Lynham today. I hope that you are feeling well and happy wherever you are in the country or in the world. There has been lots and lots and lots going on this week economically, but of course, all eyes have been focusing particularly on the largest IPO in history, and we're going to be delving into that. In addition as well, coming up on today's show, we're going to talk about why Europe's 1 trillion euro mobile industry finds itself at a crossroads. There's going to be lots of trillions discussed here this morning. We'll have all the details in the latest mortgage market report from the Banking and Payments Federation. And of course, we're going to have all of the market's data and analysis as usual. So first up, I'm going to invite Aidan Donnelly from Davy to join me here now this morning. First off, Aidan, I do want to ask you about that. Where did things land as a result of the SpaceX IPO yesterday? And what are we expecting when the markets open today?
Morning, Susan. Yeah, I suppose this one has been a bit unusual because normally in an IPO, we actually don't know the price that the stock is going to come to the market until the very last minute, because the investment banks do what's called price discovery, and they look at all the orders and they work it all out and they come up with a price as to what it's going to do. But we've known for some time now that the price here is going to be $135. So that's kind of never been a question. What's been a question is what the demand is going to be like, and therefore, what can we see in terms of a move on day one when the stock starts to trade? Now, late last night, you were probably looking at the big question is, who, in terms of retail orders, how much are going to come in, how much are the retail investors going to get, and generally, where, because it's not a particular, although we talked that the market cap is a 1.75 trillion, there's actually only 75 billion. Worth of stock on offer today. So there's very little stock in reality, and the free float's going to be about a little over 4%. But late last night, we certainly read stuff that orders from retail investors came in at about $100 billion worth of orders. And if you think about it, they were going to get about 20% allocation, which means, they're only going to get about 15 billion of that 100 billion. So there's definitely a bit of pent-up demand in retail space there. There's an awful lot of big institutions that will get bits and pieces of it, and they will probably just flip it out into whatever demand is there at the open. But it's looking like, there's a few unofficial pricing websites out there, and it's looking at it's going to be somewhere around maybe, 20 to 30% pop in the share price as soon as it opens today.
Well, you talk about what retail investors have to put into this in terms of demand. But of course, over the next couple of days, 5 days, 10 days and 15 days, several of the index funds are going to be soaking up some demand as well. But this is very unusual, Aidan. Why is it that the index funds change the rules to suit this IPO?
Well, you've got three big index providers. You've got MSCI, you've got the Nasdaq, and you've got the S&P. Now, the S&P has stuck by their guns and said, no, they're not changing the rules. So they're not even going to consider SpaceX inclusion in any of the big S&P ETFs or indexes for at least a year. And even then, they're saying, unless it moves to profitability, it won't be going in there either. So to be fair to them, they've stuck to their guns. They are definitely the biggest index provider in terms of quant of money that follows that. If you look at the others, your MSCI and your Nasdaq, I suppose the cynic would argue that every single bank on Wall Street bar one is involved in this ticket, and there was probably a large amount of pressure borne on them to make sure this is seen as a success and it gets away and all of that type of thing. So there's a little bit of that. Now, even then, the index demand is not going to be massive, because MSCI, the one next to the MSCI World and all of that, they're putting it in, and in terms of an index weight, they operate on what's called a free float. So how much money is actually freely traded? It'll only be 75 billion. So there's only going to be a very, very small index allocation to this. And Nasdaq have managed to kind of tweaked the rules a little bit, and they're putting in, I think, three times the free float, but still not a massive quantum of money, really, for index buying over the next kind of 2 weeks.
What I'm hearing from you, Aidan, is that you think there's been too much fuss about this, given actually the relative size of money being transacted yesterday and subsequently what will be there today. And it's far lower than the $1.75 trillion that we've all been hearing about for the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, but I suppose the thing to bear in mind, the $1.75 trillion is the key thing in that it allows you to do your analysis when it comes to valuation and all of that type of thing, because it's not just the $75 billion. And like at $1.75 trillion, you're looking at something that's trading on 90-odd times sales, right? It doesn't make any money. It's losing money. Lost about $5 billion last year. And it certainly doesn't plan to turn that around anytime soon, because it's investing so much in AI and the space program and things like that. So your $1.75 trillion is really important, because it's the valuation, it's the market cap of the company. The fact that there isn't an awful lot of shares out there to be able to trade is just a different matter entirely.
Well, if we shift to another topic, I want to ask you about your recent trip to the US. You were over there meeting a range of CEOs and taking the pulse on what life is like on the ground. First of all, what would you say about the consumer? What is the sentiment like with that in the US?
Look, I think we've been talking about it for quite some time, about the idea of this K-shaped economy in the US, where kind of the lower two quartiles of consumers are really struggling. They've seen gas prices go up, they've seen food prices going up. You know, they're getting very, very price sensitive about the necessities that they have to buy, and they've completely stopped all demand for any sort of discretionary spend that's going on. So when I met an awful lot of the companies, they pretty much confirmed that's where it is. It's very tough. If you're operating only to that consumer base, it's very, very tough. As you move into the kind of the top two quartiles of income, you see a different story. I think in that kind of middle and upper middle quartile, what you're seeing ultimately is, you know, there's much more of a focus, not on price, but on value. You have got to get that sense that people are getting value for money. They are definitely, they're not flahoolock in terms of throwing money away, but they are willing to spend stuff on discretionary items like eating out and things like that. But again, it's the companies that are providing, you know, a perceived value that are doing better in this environment.
And one last thing I'd like to ask you about, Aidan. I was reading Spotify's earnings call transcript yesterday, and they were saying that they're not getting rid of people because of AI. They're doing as much as they can with the people that they've got. So they're keeping their headcount flat and building up their efficiency of AI. What are you seeing when it comes to utilization of AI within companies in the US?
This is definitely a change, I think, and it was something that struck me while I was away. You know, the question about improving productivity, you can either make the same amount of stuff with less people or make more stuff with the same amount of people. And there's definitely been a switch to the idea that you start making more with the same amount of people. Now, the other thing that's very interesting is when it comes to the productivity argument, and we're seeing more and more of it this week, is this idea that, you know, people say, oh, well, my costs are coming down, but they're talking about their labor costs. But with the rapidly expanding price and cost of tokens in terms of all of the AI, your actual input costs, you've just basically replaced some, and in some cases more than the labor savings that you're making in terms of your tokens. So
as always,
the economics, Aidan, don't understand up.
As always, Aidan Donnelly from Davy, highly insightful. Thank you very much for joining me. And
Breakfast Business with Joe Lynham on News Talk.
With Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland, helping people across Ireland invest, plan and grow their wealth with confidence. Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.